Hey!
There was movement around Australia. They gathered from far and near to listen to old mate Leon on the radio, loud and clear.
Greetings and salutations to the worldwide caravan. This is Caravan to Midnight, the John D. Wells program. Talks about the same things that we do, and it seems to me to be a really good alliance that we're just getting going right now.
He spoke about a foreign invasion. He's gone to the top job in the land. They're after our farms, our fish, and our trees. So he called the resistance to stand. He spoke about God and what it means to be true blue.
A cosmic agitator. What was the other stuff we were going to put there? Oh, yeah, evangelist for the king of the universe. That's it.
They could hardly believe his story. Are you fair dinkum and true? So put the billy on, Australia, and gather round that radio and come join the resistance. It's a fair dinkum radio show. It is a Fair Dinkum radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome from wherever you are listening all around the world. My name is Leon Pittard. I'm the host of Fair Dinkum Radio. We are broadcasting from the land down under in Australia. Today we have John B. Wells joining us from Caravan to Midnight program. John is an actor, musician, writer, investigative journalist, composer, martial artist. He's at the helm of Caravan to Midnight, and he hosts on this program many good guests every week. The program runs at 10 p.m. Central Time, United States Time. And for listeners from all around the world, you need to check your time zone map to tune into that. We have been sharing each other's programs. I have been on John's program in the past. And as I was talking to him just before this recording began, I've been really looking forward to this broadcast, to interview another radio host who hosts many good, credible guests on all of the different subjects, many of which we discuss on this program. And it's great to welcome him to the program. John, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Well, it's so great to be on your program. Thanks, Leon, for having me on. We, you know, we have a lot of friends in Australia, and they contact us regularly. So, you know, there are many, many kindred spirits down there, and we're happy that they listen to you. And through your show and through Coast to Coast AM, you know, we got to know each other, and they've joined the caravan. So if I were a priest, I'd say blessings, but I'll say blessings anyway, and thank you very much. You know?
Look, it's great to have you, and we've been meaning to do this for some time since we last spoke. But, you know, John, look, there is so much going down. As you know, it's so difficult to keep track, and it's impossible to keep track of everything that's coming upon us. But for the sake of some of our listeners who may not be acquainted with you, give us a little bit of an intro. Tell us a little bit about your launch into Caravan to Midnight from Coast to Coast. Just give us a little bit of a background to set the table for our conversation.
Well, this may not be appealing to the tastes of the secular crowd, but it's okay. First of all, let me begin by saying I am an intrepid adventurer. I would like to think of myself as one, and I am anything but lily white, although I think my robes are getting washed every day a little bit more, so eventually they'll turn white again. Actually, what happened was I did one show on Coast to Coast in 05, and then a couple of years went by, and I don't think anything happened in 06 or 07. Then I did one or two in 08, and then nothing whatsoever in 09. But then in 10, they started calling a lot, asking me to fill in. Then 11, they called frequently for me to fill in. And then at the end of 2011, they asked me to take the Saturday night slot at Coast. And I was there for two years and three weeks. Yeah, the 7th of January 2012 until the, 25th of 2014. And then 5 days later, we launched the show. And the thing is that I enjoyed talking to the guests so much. Many of those guests I was able to pick myself. And then I had a great little producer who helped. And I just thought, you know, once a week is just not enough. Every once in a while, they would drop me in from Tuesday through Saturday. I do Saturday and Sunday, or maybe a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday, but Saturday night was the regular gig. And then for whatever reason, and I suspect it's because, you know, it was always, I had a great time on that show, but there was always, you know, working within a corporate structure is always a little, shall we say, problematic. I mean, everything from can you make your music a little bit more mainstream to don't say Obama, you know,
yeah, and
that eventually turned into, you know, if you don't want me to say it, if you don't want his name said on the show, stop booking guests who say his name. I'm not a puppeteer. So anyway, push came to shove, and it was like, okay. So they called me up on Tuesday or Wednesday the 28th and said bye, and I said, okay. And 5 days later, we launched our first program, and a wild, careening takeoff it was. But now we're 350-some-odd shows into it, maybe more than that now, and it's just been a great run, and we're in 144 countries now, and we don't have sponsors. We don't take commercial breaks. It's all a commercial-free deal. We play the full length of the music so that the artists actually get paid, and it's just been an excellent experience. It's the best job I've ever had.
That's great. And now your broadcast for our listeners is running live 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, and all the other related times for us down here in Australia. It's obviously better for us to log into the podcast, become a member, and actually absorb some of the material that you and your guests are sharing. Now, I mean, you have a multitude of different guests, John, and as I was saying to you just before we began recording this broadcast, you know, when you're speaking to a fellow radio host that actually speaks to hundreds of other people that are, you know, have been researching and focused within their particular fields, you know, I was really, really looking forward to this time together, because I really want to get a snapshot from you of really how your summary of how you see the world and what's going on around us, starting in your own country in the United States. I mean, the United States has always been looked at as the leader of the free world, right? We get this label. And, you know, for everyone researching, we know that they may be the leader, but the free world bit, you know, that's, we question that narrative now because things are changing at such a rapid rate. Give us a little synopsis of, you know, you've lived there, you've grown up there, of the massive changes that you've seen to the point now where are people just becoming so conditioned to what we see now as the normal? Paint the picture for us of the US as that leader of the so-called free world, tuning into what all your guests have been telling you.
Well, that's a very pregnant question, and I can answer it. It's going to have to be a little bit of a pregnant answer too.
Sure.
It may even be twins. The thing is that there's so much stuff which started so long ago that is now coming to, in some cases, fruition, and in other cases, a head, as in a blemish, that that I think people are distracted by just, I think the American people are in an almost continual state of distraction. What happens then is that, you know, they say that when things don't add up, start subtracting. And before long, things will become a little more clear to you. Well, unfortunately, we've gone too far the other way, or did for a while. People are beginning to be willing to wake up again. But for a while, I think they went to sleep. They were just, they couldn't trust their media to shoot them the straight story. They couldn't do it. And it became obvious that, you know, how long does it take to notice that the probably at one time the most credible news source in mainstream media, Fox News, and like it or not, I mean, millions of people watch them, right? They got 26 million, I think, on that presidential debate or whatever you might call it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before long, they begin to cop to the fact that, gee, Big Pharma sure buys a lot of commercial time on this channel. And then, of course, after that come the lawyer commercials saying if you took any of the FDA-approved drugs and suffered all kinds of problems from it, including death, you may get a check if you just call our law firm. Mm-hmm. And so first people went along. Then when they started to wake up, they went, I don't want to wake up. I want to go back to sleep. So they did. And I think they've had enough sleep. It's sort of like when you want to stay in bed, but you kind of want to, but you go, no, I can't do this. I got to get up. Well, I think that's where we are now. I mean, we're being hit with everything from this president who promised to be just a breath of fresh air mm-hmm. has turned out to be a blast of really bad breath. Mm-hmm. And he's the worst president in the history of the United States. He's done nothing but cause racial division. He encourages racial division. He is sympathetic to criminals. He hands Iran, or is trying to hand Iran, a deal where they can make their own nuclear inspection. So there's a good idea. And then, of course, the next day it's, you owe us $50 billion for inconveniencing us. And by the way, death to America and death to Israel and frankly, death to everybody except Israel. Except Iran, which is a little bit of a stretch. But I'm thinking to myself, why are you playing nice? And the moment that John Kerry, that ridiculous buffoon of an official, the moment he gets on the plane, they start screaming, kill the American. It's like, oh. So, I mean, we just have a wave of stuff hitting us. And you combine that with falling stock prices and all of this other stuff that panics people. Most people aren't in the stock market, but they hear these things. And so that gives them a little sense of insecurity, even if they don't really know what's happening. So the state of America right now is one of coming out of confusion and realizing that some decisions are going to have to be made that are not what you would call politically correct. No longer are people afraid of being called racist because we want the whole 25% of Mexico's population to go back to Mexico. It has finally occurred to people that, say, we're paying for all of this. Mm. And we're getting mugged and robbed and beat up and pushed out of our jobs and everything else. Mm. And, see, the elites know this. Mm. So what makes it even worse is now they want to go to robotics. Now they want your fast food served with robots so that they don't even have to deal with the demands for, you know, a ridiculous minimum wage, $15 an hour to, you know, take somebody's burger order. That's not going to get it. These companies can't afford that. So those jobs are going to go away. The entire paradigm is shifting into something that's going to require two things: higher education and the awareness that comes with it, and number two, a reduction in freeloaders. We are not responsible for their bad life in Mexico, like this idiot Ramos, Jorge Ramos from Univision comes on and starts, you know, he wants everybody to stay here from Mexico. It's like, well, that's fine, but why don't you go down to Mexico and address your corrupt government? How many tens of thousands of just regular people along the American-Mexican border have to be murdered by the drug cartels before you realize the problem is not us, it's you and your government that you have allowed to become a tyrannical force in your nation? The military and the government and the drug cartels are all in bed together, just having a great big, cluster fumble in the dark, and it's not a good thing. So the battle lines are being drawn. Hopefully it'll be a soft battle, but we're getting to the point here where we're not squeamish if it's a soft one or a hard one. We're sick of it because we realize if we don't do something pretty soon, we're going to lose this thing. We're going to wind up in we may have a strong economy, at least as far as they can manipulate the numbers, but we will go to a third world level as far as the culture is concerned.
Exactly. Well, look, I'm glad you mentioned immigration. I mean, I was looking this morning at, you know, some of the things that are taking place in Europe. I mean, Germany has absorbed something like 800,000 people this year. We see these pressures in Greece, Macedonia, as these boat people really are flooding into Europe because they know that there's welfare there. And, you know, we see the people of Germany that are pushing back, of course, they're immediately labelled by the mass media as neo-Nazis if they resist any sort of flood of immigration. Hungary's the only one that's basically, you know, saying, look, we're going to build a wall, we can't absorb this, we are going to sink. We are going to sink as a nation if we allow this to happen. But so the reason I speak about Europe is because what you're describing in the United States, what's happening in England, what's happening in Australia, Canada, they've put the brakes on here in Australia to a small extent. But doesn't this go, John, to the issue of socialism, of offering all of these welfare systems? And that's what is the pull factor. Whether it be in the United States, Australia, every country, it is like this socialist model. I mean, I often talk about the model that's developing, And I see that socialism is destroying us. I mean, one of the Aboriginal leaders in Australia came out years ago and he said welfare and socialism, socialist welfare is destroying our Indigenous people because we've lost the drive to be innovative and enjoy work. And how do you see it, John? Do you think that socialist model that's been implemented in all these countries is, to a large extent, to blame?
Oh, it's not only to blame, but it's by design. Because the more you do this, the more reliant upon government people become. And then when the government says, no, I don't think you can have ice cream today, or no, I don't think you can have butter this week, no, I don't think we'll have any meat available for the next month, they can do whatever they want. And it will turn into a widespread version of what that one woman said to Benjamin Franklin when they had drafted the Constitution. She approached Ben and asked him, what kind of government have you given us? Exactly. And he says, a republic, madam, if you can keep it. Well, so they're putting us in a position of accepting whatever it is they offer. Mm. And let's keep in mind that these socialist outfits, it wasn't the union of Soviet communist republics, it was union of Soviet socialist republics.
And
Joseph Stalin starved out, I don't even know how many countless millions of people in Ukraine. But see, people can't grasp this. They can grasp a few pictures of the Holocaust and the death camps in Germany. Okay. They can grasp, a few crucified Christian girls hanging on crosses that the ISIS morons did. They can grasp these things, but they cannot grasp, the generation that understood these things. I mean, the Australians, oh my God, how bravely they fought. Other guys that they don't know had sent out to fight, how bravely they fought, how unbelievable the sacrifice of Australia, England, France, not as much, Italy, quite a bit. United States, absolutely. And this was all done so that we could, carry on in the same way generations later? What was it all for? So, yeah, socialism, and here's the thing, these idiots, and I'm, my language may be a little strong for some, Leon, so just pull me back if it gets too much. But look,
go for it.
Well, these people are not only, if there's such a thing as evil, and I believe that there is, the wanton destruction of human beings on a physical, mental, spiritual, or combination of the three, these socialists are evil. They are the same as the bullies on the playground, on the school ground, that can only be dealt with one way. They continue to try and push out these ridiculous ideas which have failed over and over and over again. But they're just so sure that they're right and everyone else is wrong that they just keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And why is that? It's because they are greedy. The only way that these people can have a playing field that they can compete on is to tilt it in their favor. So first they get the money, then they get control of the government, now they've got the power, and now they've got the shackles on the people. And it's been repeated over and over again, and has been said before, the biggest lesson of history is that people do not learn the lessons of history. I think that was Aldous Huxley. But that's it. They're just they don't teach any of these things that happened to our antecedents in school now. Not in the United States, they don't. Oh, those wicked, horrible Americans, they dropped nuclear bombs on Japan. But they don't talk about the rape of Nanking. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about when the Japanese were getting it on with the Russians. The Japanese were getting it on with everybody back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Now, we've talked a little bit about immigration. Let me just go to culture for a moment, because, as you know, I look at world events through the lens of my biblical worldview, being a dedicated follower of the Creator. I look at what the signs that He gave us that are taking place, and I want to just ask you a little bit about culture. And I read articles from Australia about what's taking place in America. And you've always had this great principle of freedom of speech and being able to speak about what you believe is evil. You've mentioned there, what you believe is bad, evil. You should be able to declare what the Bible says, for instance, on some issues. Now, you've just recently had this US Supreme Court ruling. The LGBTI movement is rolling over the world. Down here in Australia, we are under an incredible assault by mass media, really. And, you know, the last census in Australia was 2011 that basically said 1% of Australians identified as homosexuals. And as I look at the month we're entering into, September, you would be aware, you know, there's a lot of different events sort of converging together at this time. From your observations in the United States, with your ear to the ground of what's happening over there, freedom of speech is culture, and the new cultural norms being used to bring about this politically correct environment, even for, you know, a place where your amendment guarantees that. Well, I've heard of bakers that have refused to bake cakes, $135,000 fine for emotional distress and all this. So obviously speech is being affected by this cultural Marxist assault. And it doesn't matter which sort of chapter we look at. Could you speak to that?
Yeah, well, that's what you do. It's ridicule, vilify, and then twist the law to your own purposes. As far as this, I mean, the Boy Scouts of America have decided that it's okay to have, you know, gay scout leaders. Mm-hmm. Well, the converse of that would be, how about a guy that is a lifeguard, so he's very well built and all that, and we put him in charge of a camp for teenage girls.
Exactly.
You know, this is equally inappropriate. As far as the homosexual movement is concerned, it's too strident. It's given too much press. It, you know, for a long time, it was among the, you know, the arts. It was, you know, kind of fashionable. You know, being gay had this panache. Mm. Oh, what a free spirit. What a free living individual and all that. Mm. Okay. Well, all right. As long as it's confined, I mean, these things exist. You cannot, you know, annihilate this kind of predilection. You can't. It's been tried before. I mean, for example, in the Middle East, they throw homosexuals from the rooftops, and everybody cheers. Well, you can't do that. That's inhumane. But you don't have to bend the other 99% of the society to accommodate the 1%. That's not going to work. And eventually what's going to happen is that people will, the worst thing that can happen, Leon, is that people will give up on the civilization. Mm-hmm. They will decide that it's just not worth saving. Mm-hmm. And then things will start over, but there's going to be a lot of ugliness between, you know, the destruction of the one thing and then whatever you replace it with and however long it takes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're not going to get any children out of it. That's for sure.
Exactly.
You know, it makes no difference to me what you how you live your life. But when it becomes a political instrument,
yep,
now I have a problem with it.
Exactly. Well, as a recent example of what's taking place here in Australia now, we have this this group called the Safe Schools Coalition, and basically they you know run on a ticket of you know combating homophobia within schools. So they're supposed to be an educational body that go into schools to teach heterosexuals to be respectful of homosexuals, right? That's the ticket. But what we find is they've already embedded themselves in over 360 schools here in Australia in a matter of 12 months or so. And yesterday it came out that, you know, principals are cancelling normal school period time, and they're running, you know, gay documentaries about how to be gay parents to these young in this girls' school, right? So as you mentioned, and I agree, the answer is not to endeavour to eliminate. We live in a world of sin, in my worldview, and these things exist, they always have. But the militant political move to actually coerce children by their peers to accept whatever that political agenda is, and we're only talking about one chapter here, we should go in a little bit on vaccines as well. Very similar thing, a cultural change that's taking place. But I agree with you, you know, in understanding what freedom of religion, freedom of thought, freedom of individuality, even in culture, let people live but do not coerce them into this mandatory acceptance regime that we are under. And I can see it on so many different fronts, John, and it all comes with this, under that label of political correctness, right?
Yes, absolutely. And once the first domino falls, either way, the rest of the world will follow. For example, if you got rid of nuclear power in Australia, yeah, we should get rid of it here. Yeah. I mean, the WIPP site in New Mexico is taking on 6,000 cubic meters of highly radioactive waste every year. Mainstream media covering any of this? No, not at all. So, and then going back to Australia got rid of the nuclear power. Now, are other countries considering getting rid of nuclear power? Yeah, the Germans don't really want it. There are several other countries that don't want it. The Americans are going to be tough to budge, but eventually we will if there's anything left. But the first time that a country that's regardless of where you are in the world, I mean geographically, the first time that a member of Western civilization, based on language and culture, if not borders, the first time that they say no, what we're going to do is we're going to throw these people out of office. We're going to make sure that there's a website that has their names on it, and they will not even be able to run for rodent catcher. They will never be allowed in politics again, and that's how it is. We're going to completely revamp our educational system with a focus on everything except what you do with your genitals. This will be reserved for home. This will be reserved for the parents.
Yeah, that's it.
You know?
And that's exactly the way it should be. I mean, everything to do with our bodies, this is the autonomy and sovereignty that I think we have lost. And, you know, we're talking about national borders with immigration, but this, if we look at the human body, really, I've always spoken about this is the first point of sovereignty. You know, what happens to my body? This is my decision. What happens to my children's body is also my decision, because the Bible, in my view, says that the children are the responsibility of the parents until the age appointed, until they're old enough to make their own decisions. But I noticed, John, over your end, this SB 277 we've spoken about a little bit here in California, and how this push for mandatory vaccines, we have the same environment here in Australia, where we see the Murdoch media run a campaign for 2 years advocating that children should not be able to play in playgrounds if they haven't been vaccinated. Now, that was followed a few months ago by the federal government endorsing that campaign and withdrawing social security payments to parents who do not vaccinate their children, right? So there's the economic threat. Now, Victoria, the first state to follow, has implemented mandatory vaccine rules for anyone going to childcare or kindergarten. I notice on your side, the Canadian Medical Association, 80,000 member group, they are advocating mandatory vaccines for not just children, but also pushing into adults. And I believe the author of SB 277, I forget his name now, but this is the same agenda worldwide, as you said, when one domino falls, like they all follow and they sort of bounce off each other. Talk to us a little bit about this cultural change, where we see the health being integrated with these insurance companies and, you know, this push for mandatory interventions into the life, into your life, you know?
Yeah, well, it's mandatory intervention, all right. And what makes it even better is that, meaning worse, is that there are reports circulating now that many of these vaccines are made with components derived from aborted fetuses. You can find it if you look for it. Now, this has the same effect in my... Now, I am not a licensed nor, a titled researcher. I do not bear the prefix of professor, nor do I bear the suffix of PhD, and therefore I am not a doctor. But it seems to me that once you begin to do that, I mean, just like the oldest cultures on earth say, you don't want to eat the beast and also the product of the beast, meaning no cheeseburgers. If you put cheese and meat together, it's hard on your system. If you keep eating that, the doctor's going to give you some bad news one day about, you know, what's going on with your arteries and other parts of your system. So it's my view that the reason that we have, so I've been asking myself for years, where is all this autism and this so-called ADD, all these mental illnesses, where are they coming from? Well, I believe that a lot of them are coming from the vaccines. And we know that the CDC covered up data about the vaccines causing autism. And Dr. Elena George, one of the guests on Caravan at Midnight, spoke directly to this point, and that these vaccines are harder on black boys than they are on anybody else. Messes them up big time. But look, there's a lot of money in those vaccines. I mean, this governor down here who's finally gone, Rick Perry, I mean, he made a beautiful presentation. He looked like, you know, the archetypal, you know, beautiful man of Texas. This guy was pushing for the HPV vaccine.
Yeah.
And, I mean, why are you giving young girls a vaccine to combat a human papillomavirus when it is such a rare occurrence? Everybody knows what causes that. It's from having too many sexual partners. That's what causes it. Period. End of story. So cut down on the promiscuity, cut down on the HPV. Well, we can't do that because, well, then we wouldn't be able to sell all these vaccines. And we want to make them mandatory so that every citizen, one way or another, winds up paying for it. And who gets the money?
Exactly.
Follow the money and everything, and you'll find out exactly that and precisely what is meant in the Bible with the statement, the love of money is the root of all evil, and it is. These people don't care about anything except what kind of profit they can realize from it.
Exactly right. And, you know, another point to all this, that, I mean, every week I'm amazed at how the events that are taking place fit in with what I've learned from the Bible over the years. And one of the incredible points that not many people actually know about in the Bible is that it talks about this end game scenario, right? And it has many things to say about that. But one of the things it speaks about, it says, for by thy sorceries, it talks about the merchants of the earth, and it said, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries, that implies that the merchants of the earth are the ones that are conducting this sorcery, were all nations deceived. That word sorceries is pharmakia. Pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacy, i.e., this is the drug, medication, the false science, health paradigm that we have today. And it says that all nations would be deceived by this sorcery, this pharmakia. So that's the way I view this whole false health system that's developing. And it's really, you know, go back to Rockefeller Medicine, where they developed the petrochemical base of health, and they pushed out all the naturopaths, and we see that this is a change from what was originally understood as plant-based, natural sort of response to health, first nutrition, and then, of course, plant applications for healing, etc., to this sort of, you know, modern techno-science, but the with the edge of the sword with it, right? And this is the part that I object to the most. I don't care what sort of people want to practice, but don't bring the sword to enforce it upon my children or myself, right? And so this is where we see this fascist system growing with the socialist system, John.
Yeah, well, and don't forget that I don't know how it is in your country, but over here we have some of these so-called geniuses out there talking about how, you know, 75 years should be old enough. What they really want, in my opinion, what they really want is they want to pull about 20, 25 years of productivity out of you, and then they want you to die. So that they don't have to pay your pension, they don't have to pay your retirement, they don't have to pay anything, they don't have to give you any health care. Well, they already have the so-called death panels are being revived here. And the thing to do, I believe, is what are you going to do? Incarcerate all 100 million of us? Really? Look, there are far more of us than them. These people should not be permitted to tell us what to do. They cannot even run their own lives. Look at the pedophiles. Look at the homosexuals. Look at the crooked deals. look at the character of the average politician and tell me you're okay with them running your life and the lives of your children.
Well, just look at the fruits. I mean, that's what the greatest man that ever walked the earth, he said, you can judge a tree by its fruit. But, John, I want to change tack here, because I want to talk about some good news. I want to talk about, with you, the response with developing media. I mean, you are very much a part of this. You've been involved in it for many years. Let's talk about a little bit the way the people are responding worldwide, your response, my response, and you know, the development of the pushback to this global tyranny, this whole new global matrix, and how we the people are endeavouring to provide what isn't there in mass media and to provide a counter reaction to that. Let's spend some time talking about the development of media and how you see it. I mean, there's obviously a lot more alternative media. I call it research community worldwide. You're at the tip of the spear here. Let's have a talk about this development and how it's going.
I think it's going pretty well. Now, we're going to have to be careful, because just as we're being hit with a lot of information from a lot of different sources, there are a lot of outfits out there that are putting out just plain rubbish, and it's contrived to be such. There are a lot of disinformation sites out there, and so we have to maintain our character. And when we find that somebody is conducting themselves in a way that is not one of ethics and integrity, we need to call them out on it. It's like I like to say, if you want something to go away, just quit buying it and it will go away. Now, that said, the upside is that because of the internet and because of what is known as alternative media, lights are being shined on many, many dark areas, and a lot of nefarious activity is being discovered. The thing that gets me is that somehow mainstream media still has this, it still enjoys a large audience, and people, too many people, feel that, well, you know, they wouldn't be in existence if they didn't have some credibility. It's like, oh, yes, they would. I mean, the more nefarious the agenda, the more assured you can be that the propaganda engine of that nefarious endeavor is going to be preserved. So we are making some significant gains, and people are taking action. It is my hope that enough people will take enough action that it scares these politicians, you know, right out of their jobs, because it should. When you consider if you take all the politicians who have any influence at all, what is it, maybe 10, 20,000 altogether, maybe? Okay, and they're going to run 7 billion people, really? Mm. No. Why should we let them do that? You know, what we need really now, we cannot go back. I mean, people listen to this one radio programs, come back online. They want to roll back the clock to 1995, 1996, when a lot of this stuff was still out there. It wasn't confirmed as being real. So it was fun to kind of play with the what ifs. But now, it's been 20 years since 1995. And in the same way that we've got these new forms of music, I don't know about you, but I kind of like electronica. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was saying for a long time, many years before, I'm not that old, mm-hmm. before the advent of electronic music, that really started with like Kraftwerk and Gary Numan and like that, mm-hmm. We need some new instruments. Mm-hmm. We need some new ideas. We need some new instruments now. We need some new ideas. We can take some of the best of the past and go forward, but we cannot go back to the way things were. We have to face a future, and the future is always uncertain. So that means that when we behold these challenges that are not actually challenging us yet, but they exist, and at some point they will challenge us. I mean, it'll go verb on us rather than noun. We need to be prepared for this so that we can weather these storms, which most assuredly will come, but we cannot cling to the past. We can only take the best of the past and go forward. We need some new ideas. We need new sources of energy. We need a new economic structure. It doesn't have to be a world government. It doesn't have to be a world currency or any of that. But I think it starts with privacy. self-respect and the self-esteem that goes with it, a sense of self-worth, education, and a realization that we can do anything that we can think of, provided we're allowed to think, and the only way that we can think is to get rid of some of these distractions.
Exactly. And, you know, you're so right about, you know, I mean, there is media is exploding, and there is so much disinformation. I find that in my work, I really endeavour to focus on what I think my talent is. In other words, what the gifts God's given me, I try and use them to the benefit of humanity. And I think this is what we have to do, is focus on what we think are the most important issues. I did have a Professor Frank Salter on my program, and he was saying how we need to develop our own media in promoting our cultures, for instance. So, in other words, if we see our cultures under assault, we need to counteract that by developing, you've mentioned music, developing our own culture in music, or our own defense of culture. In my work, I defend the creator, the plan that he's given us, and sew that into all of the events that we see taking place around us. I mean, what would you say with your media, John? What is your focus? What do you try and, I guess, focus on? What are your favourite sort of areas where you feel the most comfortable, happy, passionate about?
Well, the two are awareness of the situation that we're in now. That's number one. And number two, solutions to it, rather than just, I mean, if it was just going to be a single answer to your question, it would be enough hand-wringing, let's have solutions. We are not about problems, we are about solutions. Life is problems. Every creature that walks the earth, I mean, even a big-mouth bass fish will get a ball stuck in its mouth every once in a while, and swims over to a fisherman and looks up at him out of the water, and the fisherman goes, let me help you there, buddy. I'll try and catch you later. I mean, this actually happened. There were pictures of it. Yeah. You know, or the mama duck that went over and actually got a cop and kept tugging on his pants until he finally went, what the heck's going on? He followed her over, and her little ducklings were all stuck in this swirling little whirlpool, and they couldn't get out, so she went and got a cop. You know, every creature that walks this earth has a problem.
Yes.
And we are no different from this. So we can't just, I mean, it seems to me like so many of these news outlets, alternative and otherwise, are just wringing their hands over, oh, it's just so gloom and doom. It's like, look, anytime there's gloom and doom, there is a bright, sunshiny day on the other side of it. Yep. Let's get through the gloom and doom. Let's get to the sunshine, and then prepare for the next bout of thunderstorms and gloom and doom.
Yes.
That's what we have to do. We can't just wallow in all this angst, because all that's going to do is run people away. It's going to scare them. It's going to give them a feeling of despondency. And so if it were just one thing, it would be not hope. You know, hope is just something extra. What we have to have is faith. We have to have faith in something beyond ourselves. We have to have trust and respect for that which is beyond ourselves. And we need to recognize immediately that we don't even belong to us. We belong to our Creator, and we are not put on this planet to just freelance all over the place and just do whatever we want. Like these people say, well, you know, if there is a God, I just think He wants me to be happy. It's like, no, what He wants you to serve Him, and then everything that you want will be brought up to you like room service. Now, there are always exceptions to this. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a stretch for some, but let's take death, for example. You see somebody check out in what appears to be a terrible way. What that person is experiencing is not the same as what we are experiencing it, experiencing when we behold it.
Yes, yes.
Exactly. And why does God let all these terrible things happen? It's because it doesn't matter how you die. Mm. What matters is how you live.
You're exactly
and the rest
right.
will... I mean, are you all right with this?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, look, this is the thing, and I agree with you, solutions. You know, this is what we... I often speak about the Bible verse that says, you know, we have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather expose them. But then I always add to that, the greatest man that ever walked the earth was the light of the world, and he is the light out of the darkness, if you like. Here we are approaching midnight, that we can have faith in our Creator and, you know, the things that he's talked to us about. But what he's told us is that if we want to be a part of his kingdom, that we will labour with our fellow human beings, our brothers and sisters of creation, to help them with solutions. So, you know, we could talk about health. We need to talk about the real solutions with health, right? The natural health approach that God's given us with herbs, plants, and natural world around us. Education. Okay, you can homeschool your children. Get them out of that system. Mass media, turned off. Turn on the media that you believe is giving you authentic, researched, well-thought-out thinking and ideas, like you do, John, on Caravan to Midnight, and your guests, endeavouring to bring about the thought process to develop innovation and get humanity off their backsides and into the activity of life, right? And it's the activity of life that generates life, so that if we are giving a solution to people to actually get in the garden, or, you know, speak to your neighbour, or share the gospel, whatever it is, that generates life, John.
Yes, I completely agree. You know, it is understood that the Satan, or the satanic force, or evil, runs this planet. That's component one. Component two, what joy is there? What joy has anyone within range of your caste? What joy have they ever taken in passing an easy test? Exactly. They almost feel let down.
Yeah.
Oh, I aced that one, but it was so easy. A moron could have done it. I don't feel challenged. I don't feel like I won some victory. I don't feel any contentment over this. It was just whatever. So is life a test. Component three. Mm-hmm. What did Yeshua, mm-hmm, Yeshua, mm-hmm, Jesus, yeah, what did he do to any person that harmed them? Answer,
nothing.
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 And look what they did to him. Exactly. Humiliation, a slow, agonizing physical death. And then what happened? He was like, don't look now, but you lose.
Yes, beautiful.
This is what he did. I like to say, you are not, I'm not sure this is original, but so I'm going to say it's not, but I'll say it anyway. You are not remembered for the rules that you keep in this world. You are remembered for the rules that you break.
Yes.
And all Christ did was say, no, my kingdom's not of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And Pontius Pilate's wringing his hands going, well, what do you want? He goes, I don't want anything.
Yeah.
And those morons came up and said, hey, do you think we should pay taxes? Trying to suck them into, you know, rebelling against Caesar. He goes, whose picture's on this coin?
Yeah.
You got 50 cents? Let me see it. Whose picture's on this coin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you give Caesar what's Caesar's and you give God what's God. Any more questions?
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, be blessed and go on your way. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
So,
revolution.
You mentioned, go ahead. Sorry.
Revolutionary. I mean, what you said is so right, because if we look at even biblical characters like John the Baptist, if we look at Yeshua himself, he was a revolutionary because he came with concepts which were outside the legal paradigm. And that's what we see today, is that the answer to peace, happiness, freedom, if you like, does not lie in the legal matrix, but it lies beyond that. And all of these people were revolutionary to their day and continue to be, where they were rejected by the churches of their day. They were rejected by the majority of the collectives, by the state. And we see that when people did not want to listen to Yeshua, his disciples said, well, look, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy these people? He said, get out of the way. He said, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, you are controlled by the wrong spirit. There he showed us the individuality and freedom of being able to share ideas but not condemn people who don't accept them. Let them go on in their life. Let them reap the results of the seeds that they are sowing. And so I see, John, that the gospel teaches this incredible individual freedom that the churches, I think, don't understand. But in general, the Bible teaches this gospel of individual freedom to respect your fellow creation, no matter what they think, no matter what they do. But we all have the individual created dignity to be able to share the thoughts that our Creator has given us with each other. John, it's an incredible time we live in. We're going to be tested. He said, they've hated me, they'll hate you. And I agree with you. It is those who are revolutionary that end up being looked at as lawbreakers years later that are exonerated because of the truths that they held, right?
Yeah. You know, what is it, what got Michael Hastings killed?
Exactly, yeah.
What got Christ crucified?
Yeah.
Oh, he broke the biggest rule of them all, right? He broke the biggest earthly rule of them all when he told the truth. And he said, yeah, give Caesar whatever he needs, whatever he says, but you don't worship him as a god. He's not a god. He's a person. He does hold authority over you, and you need to respect that. But the kingdom you're going to, or you could go to, is not here. This ain't it. I mean, even, I like to use ain't every once in a while just to kind of keep it alive. You know, when Satan takes him up on the hill and says, look, all you got to do is give me that intention.
Yes.
Just give me your worship.
Yes.
You know, worship me and you can have all of this. And Christ looked at him and went, you got to be kidding. This is nothing compared to what's awaits. You know that, Lucy. You know that. I'm not going to do this. He's like, well, I'm going to mess with you because I just made you a good deal. That's the best deal you're going to get. It's like, well, bring it, pal, because I don't work for you. I am the son of the great one. You are not the great one. You are one of his creations. You're just a vain, you know, dude. You know, now off with you. But he still didn't get it. These evil people will cause all the destruction they can to justify their pathetic existence. And remember, folks, these people who want you, you know, you say God in front of somebody and they shift uneasily on their feet. You say Christ and they're just repelled by it.
Yeah.
Don't get the idea that these people who are telling you don't need to believe in God or Christ. That's just a bunch of fairy tale nonsense. These people believe very much in God and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't want you to know that, and they also don't want you to know that they have consciously chosen not to follow his word, not to do what he said, not to serve him, to serve themselves and be absorbed in the things of the world which will pass away as surely as an old car that was once a beautiful hot rod sitting in a field has now gone back to the earth and there's hardly any of it left. It's all rusted out. It's become dirt again. The people who absorb themselves in things of the world, sure, everybody likes a comfortable chair and a good meal and, you know, 40 winks every once in a while, you know, get some sleep. Enjoy these things. But don't absorb yourself in these things as if this is all you're going to get, because when you do that, you cut yourself off from what you could have. And as far as happy is concerned, happy is the shallow end of the swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
Joy is the deep end of the pool, where you go through your life with a sense of purpose and you live a serious and sincere life,
mm-hmm.
which is finite. Everybody's going to check out of here one day.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about how you're going to die. Worry about how you're going to live, what you're going to say is okay, and what you're going to say is not okay. And remember, you don't know where you were before you came into this life. You do not know where you are going. Through faith, you can get there. But if you have no faith, you're not going anywhere, and this is all you're going to get.
Beautiful. And, I mean, your program is called Caravan to Midnight. Let's finish with this. We spoke about a convergence of events. We talk about aftershocks after an earthquake. I see there's some pre-shocks happening in the economic world now. Now, we haven't got time to go into all of the different convergence of events that even are in September alone. We've got the Pope going to the UN, both houses of Congress. He's going to speak and make some big announcements. It's just one little issue. There's a whole lot of other issues. From all the guests you have, John, in your experience, how close are we to midnight, this little economic shaking we see taking place now? How do you read it?
Well, on the one hand, I think it probably, let's take all the European markets are down, and four of the six or seven of the Asian markets are down, and a couple of sectors were lower in the U.S. This is a money game. So one way or another, the wealth of nations on some level is going to be preserved by the ones who are in collusion with each other. And so my view of things is that if this, and I said this to an economist earlier this week, it wouldn't bother. I said, I wish everybody would just hush about this, okay? If the Dow loses a whole bunch of points and it goes down to around 11,005 or 12,000, that would be a little bit more realistic. So you stayed in the derivatives game too long. So you lost your money. That's because you were greedy. You should have gone in, made your money, and got out. I mean, why are you putting your faith in a system that is rigged from the beginning? So, do I think there's going to be a global economic collapse? Yeah, I don't know, maybe. Do I think humanity will survive? Yes. Well, how's that going to happen? If it goes according to the way the elites have it planned, there are going to be a lot less people walking around here pretty soon. They're doing everything they can to foment either international war, civil war, keeping things in turmoil all the time. So, the short answer is, I don't know. Do I see apocalypse on the horizon? Not at this time. Do I see some real problems? Absolutely. Do I think people should just concentrate on just take care of yourself, just cover the ground you stand over, look out for your loved ones, bind yourself to the neighbors and friends that you can trust, and understand that people don't change, but every once in a while you'll see it. So be careful who you trust. You don't have to mistrust everybody, but don't just hand over your trust to anybody who's got a good line or, you know, a good appearance. You'll wind up with another Obama in your midst. Oh, he's this real smooth talker. He's the worst thing that ever happened to this country. And even people who supported him in two elections are like, oh, man, what a mistake. Watch out for the smooth talkers and just do all you can, as well as you can, for as long as you can, and you'll be fine. Just stay out of its way.
Well, John, it's a great time to be in media and endeavour to do our work to provide the answers, the solutions, not only discuss the problems but also show the light. And I appreciate your work, and I appreciate the fact that you've spent an hour with us down here in Australia. I encourage all our listeners to tune in Caravan to Midnight. It's 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, and all the other times. You'll have to look at your time zone map. It's a great tool. But John, thanks for spending some time with us, mate. We really appreciate it, and no doubt we will talk again.
I hope you'll come on Caravan to Midnight with one last correction. I'm not the leader of the caravan. I'm on the second camel. You'll see that the first camel in the set of four on the logo appears to have no one on it, but actually there is someone on it, and that would be the great invisible one.
Great work. Great work, friend. Great to catch up with you.
Take care.